Okay, get my gavel out, make it official. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is September 22nd, 2022 at 9 a.m. We have one item on the agenda this morning. This is number 21-03237, and it involves a request for approval of an after-the-fact conditional use permit to permit a 580-square-foot guest house that was constructed in 2006 as an accessory dwelling unit under the municipal code. And this would be on a 1.66-acre developed property at 23347 Aldo Road Northwest in the Polsbo area of the county. My name is Andrew Reeves. I'm a hearing examiner with Sound Law Center. The county has selected to hold certain land use application hearings like this one. And today it will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and in this instance, the specific requirements for approval of a conditional use permit under the municipal code, as well as the additional requirements to approve an accessory dwelling unit under the municipal code. So to that end, I received 20 exhibits in advance of the hearing that I had an opportunity to review. These include a staff report prepared by county staff, various technical sort of reports or details, including information on water availability, information on how sewage would be treated on site, information on the review that occurred under our state's Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, information on stormwater and how that would be addressed, geotechnical information, and information on the notice that was provided in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing. And I think we have a staff presentation we're going to see as well, and no public comments, it appears. So with that, I'll go ahead and admit those 20 exhibits into the record. Should anyone have additional exhibits they would like admitted into the record, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I will go ahead and address admitting additional exhibits at that time. All testimony today will be under oath or affirmation. That's because were my decision to be appealed under our state's Land Use Petition Act, or LUPA, the recording of today's hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits and my decision, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. Finally, the order that we typically follow and believe we're going to follow today is, first I'll swear in county staff, who will give a brief overview of the review process that led us to our hearing today. After that, I don't believe we have I was told in advance of the hearing, the applicant does not appear to be in the hearing room today or online. I do stress it is ultimately the applicant's burden, not county staff, to convince me whether or not a permit should be issued. But we don't believe the applicant will be participating today. But that said, when we get to that point in the hearing, if they have shown up, they'll have an opportunity. And then we will see if there are any members of the public interested in testifying. And if so, they will have a chance. And then finally, at the end, if necessary or appropriate, we'll go back to county staff to respond to any testimony. So with that, I think we can go ahead and get started. And I will get Mr. Gurney sworn in on behalf of the county. So thank you for being here, sir. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
And can you just state and spell your name for the audio?
Darren Gurney, D-A-R-R-E-N. Last name Gurney, G-U-R-N-E-E.
Great. And your role here at the county?
I am the planner, taking the lead on the project, pulling it through the process. I review planning and environmental.
Great. Thank you. And was I correct? We have a PowerPoint presentation?
We do. And I'm going to get my presentation up.
Excellent.
We're hoping this will work this time. So,
we'll give it a go. With that said, while we're getting that launched, was my explanation of the exhibits accurate in terms of there being 20 that you were hoping I would look at in advance of the hearing?
That is correct.
Okay, great. So, okay. Hasn't launched yet, but
so we're getting there. Okay,
I did it.
I'm going to test here and see. Okay, it is working for me. This is nice. Thank you to our clerks. So as mentioned, this is a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit for permit number 2103237 under the last name of Strum. And today's presentation is going to provide the context, some of the review criteria, and the recommendation from the Department of Community Development. Again, my name is Darren Gurney with DCD, and I've been processing this permit through the staff report. So any questions should be directed to me, dgurney@kitsap.gov. So the applicant does propose to convert a 580 square foot guest house into an accessory dwelling unit detached. The property has a permit issued for a 3,107 square foot dwelling serving as a primary residence, and that was permitted in 2006. This process was prompted through a code compliance case that was recorded on May 27th of 2021. In that it identified a unit was being used as an apartment, which prompted this permit. The unit was constructed back in 2006 with the entire single family dwelling, the primary dwelling. So this really is just for the conversion of use. There's no construction proposed as part of the project. If you request additional information about the case, we could provide that. However, we do believe this permit addresses the use of the structure. So a slight clarification, if you look at the site plans, the entire structure is attached. However, the reason for an accessory dwelling unit detached permit is that an attached unit is a separate dwelling unit contained within or directly connected by no more than 4 feet to a habitable space of the primary residence. A garage does not qualify as habitable space, and therefore ADUs detached are not considered attached when they are separated by a garage. So that is a very slight nuance that we have to account for here. The notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21, Land Use and Development Procedures, which provided recipients with project information and an opportunity for public comment. And we did not receive public comments up until this meeting. So pursuant to the Washington Administrative Codes 197.11.355, we used an optional DNS process for the project, and the SEPA comment period previously occurred with that notice of application on January 28th of this year, 2022. And we issued the determination on August 23rd of 2022. The appeal period extended to September 6th. And we received no appeals. For context, the project is located in the First Commissioner District, as mentioned, 23347 Aldo Road in Poulsbo. This slide provides the context in terms of zoning and the rural residential districts. It's consistent around the project site. You also have an indication of other single family homes and similar structures. These zones include setbacks of 50 feet for the front, 20 feet on the sides and rear, except 5 foot for accessory structures like a garage, where in this case, this is not a garage, it's actually a dwelling unit, but it does meet those setbacks. Next couple of slides. This is our regional aerial that we like to include in any presentation. Shows relationships to major roadways, water bodies. Right in the center of the screen, it's difficult to see, but you have a little green outline of the parcel. This is our more detailed aerial photo. Again, showing the consistency with the rural residential zone and single family homes in the area, and that the proposed ADU is consistent with development in that area. The critical areas, Kitsap County GIS, the latest critical areas mapping that we do have. This demonstrates that there is some form of erosion hazard potential on the western portion of the site. Given that the structure was constructed previously, this was somewhat of an after-the-fact assessment from a geologic perspective. The geotechnical report in the staff report as an attachment does identify that the structure is not a hazard to the slopes in the area, even though it is within a standard setback location. It identified that it wouldn't be a threat to public health, safety, or welfare. Again, the site is, as you mentioned, 1.66 acres, and it slopes gently from the east down to the west until that steep slope that exists about 13 feet away from the primary structure. This is our slide that identifies special use criteria for accessory dwelling units. The code reference here, 17410060, that is a code that has been changed as of June 28th. It went to our new use table code. However, this permit came in under the original code. So it does vest to the content of the older code. The content didn't change for rural locations. So these are still applicable. And the general sense is that you are only allowed one accessory dwelling unit, whether it's attached or detached. The owner has to reside in one or the two structures, cannot exceed 50% of the primary structure, must be, as a detached unit, must be located with 150 feet of the primary. However, in this case, it's attached through the garage. The general framework that it cannot be an RV, must meet the health standards for water and sewage. All of these things the proposal does meet. And these are reflected in the conditions of approval. So a little different from our past presentations. I used to have multiple slides that went through the specific goals and policies. Today, I'm just trying to go through and identify how we verbalize that, where land use goals and policies from the comprehensive plan, they encourage growth in urban growth areas, but we still allow growth in residential rural areas. We have specific policies in the staff report 50, 51, and 53 that support that. Housing and human services goals and policies, these are really meant to support the notion of affordable housing across the county, aging in place, and contributing to housing supply in some form. And those policies are 5, 7, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Here we have our site plan that shows the location on the site relative to the slopes. The primary structure is the closest structure to those slopes. You have the garage in the middle, and then the accessory dwelling unit on the easternmost side of that larger structure. These do all meet the setbacks. Alder Road, in terms of access, is a combination of a county-maintained road that transitions into a private easement. That does provide direct access to the project site. The front setback is established based on that access, and the project does meet that front setback. So the proposed ADU, the other item that we look at here, has to be 50% of the primary residence or 900 square feet, whichever is smaller. In this case, the limitation is 900. As we calculate 3107 divided by two, you get 1,554 square feet. So 900 is smaller. That is their limitation. The proposal is for 580. Difficult to see, but these floor plans show the primary residence, and this is what we use to confirm that there are no attached ADUs other than the proposed structure. So this does meet that requirement. This also allows us to establish that 50% threshold on size.
And also, there's no further detached ADUs, right?
Correct.
Okay, just making sure.
Yes. There is a barn on the northern end of the parcel, but it is not a dwelling structure. So this is our floor plan of the accessory dwelling unit. We use this to determine the size threshold as well, and confirm there are no additional units within it. And usually I have a couple of slides that go into the details of elevations to demonstrate that a proposed structure is going to be similar in architectural styles and vernacular. In this case, since everything is constructed already, the applicant did provide those items. They are included in the staff report. However, I felt like just the single photo demonstrates that everything's going to be consistent. There are no changes to the structure. And with that, the department does recommend approval. It does meet the criteria for accessory dwelling units detached in the new code as well as the old code as well. Sorry about that. So with that, if you have any questions, I am ready to answer those.
Sure. This last slide, I know I probably asked this of you before, but the sort of 1, 2, 3, 4 italicized sentences there, those are the criteria for approval, generally speaking, of a conditional use permit under the Kitsap County Code. Is that right?
That is correct.
Excellent. While we're improving over time, I would suggest one minor change to the slide, which would be to just add that the department finds the proposal is consistent with and then
the criteria, the code citation.
We have the criteria, but put the fact that these are the criteria. I think that'll be helpful in the long run. So that said, the staff report is very thorough in terms of things you sort of skipped over or had less information on in the PowerPoint. That was great to the extent that, you know, there was quite a few photographs, for instance, in the record itself and information on the other aspects that you discussed. Ultimately, I don't think I need, you know, the code compliance information. I guess my one question, if you know the answer, Mr. Gurney, is whether you said there was a building permit for the single family residence. Was the residence constructed all at once this way and they overbuilt beyond the permit? Or I'm just trying to understand how we sort of got here.
And right. So they originally, the applicant originally built the house, the garage, sure, and the accessory unit all in 2006.
Right.
Changing the use from somewhat of a guest quarters, which mean, typically in our case, that means they don't have a range or 220 outlets for those heavier appliances that would constitute becoming an accessory dwelling unit. Including those into a design over time, that can prompt that change from a guest house into an accessory dwelling unit. And that is something we do see.
Got it. So I just wanted to make sure. So when you say there was a building permit, the entire structure as it was constructed has been inspected and the county's confident that, you know, this, whatever it used to be and now will be an ADU if this is approved, you know, this has been inspected by the county's building inspector or someone with engineering expertise such that, you know, we didn't need additional reports or inspections to that end. Is that so? Really, it's more just because, you know, the use ultimately changed. Is that kind of
an accurate? That is correct.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I mean, and really that was the only major question, just wanting to ensure that that had been addressed. And so thank you. I don't actually have further questions for you, Mr. Gurney. Do we have anyone that's come into the room there?
We do not.
We do not. And then looking at the attendee list, they all appear to be members of county staff. I don't have specific questions or need to hear from either, but if either Mr. Hankins or Mr. Diener wanted to contribute, they can hit the raise hand feature and I'd be happy to hear from them. I'll give them a second. And resounding silence. So I think with that, I have all the information I need to produce a decision on the proposal. Again, even though it is the county's burden, sorry, it is not the county's burden, was what I was trying to stress. This is from my review, obviously fairly straightforward in that we already have a built structure, et cetera, that has now we know been, or now I know been inspected to ensure that there would be no concerns there. So my intent is to issue a decision approving the proposal with the recommended conditions. I do note that as a policy matter, the county does leave the record open for one additional week just to ensure that there were not any technical issues for folks trying to participate remotely as we continue to use this hybrid system that I personally think works very well. But so the plan would be essentially to issue a decision approximately 3 weeks from today, approving the proposal with the conditions that have been recommended. And I think we confirmed 20 exhibits was the right number. Is that correct one final time, just to make sure?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think with that, we can go ahead and conclude our hearing today. And if we can just, we'll stop the recording. We have a new staff member I was going to meet once we stop the recording on this particular.